This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Business in Heels podcast, the podcast that inspires and educates women in business globally to succeed. Now over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode. So joining me on today's show is Bianca Hartshi-Hazelman. Bianca is the founder and CEO of Financee, and for the past 7 years, she's been on a mission to accelerate the progress to equality by empowering people and businesses through intelligent tech, through insights and information. Now, Bianca is a communications professional. She's a LinkedIn top voice on gender equity and familiar media voice on gender financial issues, with regular contributor columns across the Australian Financial Review. Now, in 2023, she received an International Gold Medal Globe Award for her work with Impactor as the best social impact product, and is a finalist in Australia's Gender Equality Awards by Business in Heels. Now, on today's show, Bianca is going to share how we can understand where we're at with the gender equality across Australia. She's going to talk about understanding gender pay gaps and what we can do about them, as well as understanding how companies can take action and what Financee is doing to help. So welcome to the show, Bianca.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
It is.
And thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. It's a tricky one to do, and you absolutely nailed it.
Oh, good. My pleasure. Look, this is a topic, and I know we've got about 20 to 30 minutes to cover that, and we will only scratch the surface, but I think it's one that it's been a topic of conversation for many, many years. It's 2024. How are we going? Where are we at when it comes to gender equality here in Australia?
Yeah, well, this past 12 to 18 months, I think, has been a good one in terms of the social momentum, the regulatory spotlight, the focus on the gender pay gap, the gender pay gap transparency campaign that we just saw from the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, and there's more ongoing with that. These are all really good things for progress towards where we want to get to, which is ultimately having women growing up to feel as though the playing field is equal in a financial sense, and that they're not penalised for the drastically penalised setback for the life decisions that are made by choice. Genuine choice is something I want to focus on, and we'll get to that. So I think overall, when we look at those social and regulatory movements, it's been an exciting period here in Australia in particular. But when we look at the data, what that's showing, the Financee Women's Index shows that we actually have gone backwards in progress. And that's largely because we've seen a decrease in the gender pay gap. In the pay gap when it comes to unpaid work. I'm getting tongue-tied there. And I'm mentioning unpaid work because it's the ability to participate in paid work. And when we look at the HILDA survey data, we can see that when it comes to the number of hours that women are spending in paid plus unpaid work, that's over and above what men are spending in paid and unpaid work. And if we drill down into that a little bit more, we can see that whilst women on average have actually pulled back on the hours spent per week in looking after children, in the housework and all those different things, the management of the house, men have actually also pulled back. And that has led to this widening of the gap. So that's getting a little bit technical, but basically what we want to see is that gap really start to narrow. And unfortunately, we have not seen that. That set back the financial gains in particular that women have been making because of a narrowing gender pay gap story, because of improvement more broadly in employment. You know, so we have had good things happen over 2023, but because of that unpaid work story and the brakes it has put have been so significant and acted as such a barrier, we've actually seen overall progress to gender equality in Australia fall backwards. And that's not a place we want to be in.
Yeah. When you share some of the statistics and some of the reasonings behind that, what do you put it down to? If you were to give us a bullet point list, if you can, and if that study provided that information, what have been the contributing factors to the widening of the gap? Have they been able to determine some of the significant things that have had to happen over the last number of years that have led to this?
Well, if we just talk about unpaid work here, and I still maintain that this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, barriers to participating in paid work, of course, because your ability to do, you've only got so many hours a day. So if we focus on that, what we saw into the pandemic was really interesting because we had more people working from home. This was a bit of a phenomenon, and in many ways it stuck with us. You know, we're talking on Zoom right now. I work from home. A lot of people do. So what that did was it actually, we saw a narrowing of the gender gap in unpaid work as the visibility of doing more around the house, as childcare around the house coupled with working from home actually led to men doing more hours per week. And still we had women doing less per week. So that shift led to this narrowing. Sadly, as more people have gone back to the workforce, as there's been more encouragement of that, and this has been a good thing for many of us, we have actually seen that gender gap widen. So I think where we were getting to and what we've seen for so long is women have been progressively doing that little bit less around unpaid work, be that because they're working in the paid workforce, women are having less children. But we've not seen much change for the past decade in the behavioural trends among men and the way they relate to doing unpaid work, such as housework or care work. Now, this is generalistic. You know, I've got two brothers, a husband who I would say do a fair chunk of work around the house and caring for children. So when I'm talking here, I am dealing with numbers and absolutes, averages. And it's important for me to stress that because I do know that socially we are seeing a shift, but it's just not translating for the masses when it comes to these unpaid work statistics that we look at. And this is something that just has to change because we can't free up that economic equality story if we're not doing more on the unpaid work story.
Yeah. So when we're looking then at the workplace, within the workplace, because that is obviously something that many women have been talking about and even men who have really supported women in that particular area, looking at various industries that when you look at what men are paid versus what women are paid for the exact same work that they're doing, there is a discrepancy or there is a real difference between what each is being paid. Are we seeing an improvement of that? Are the different industries, or do you find that more of the, say, what we would think more of the caring industries like childcare and I think nursing or teaching, you know, with young children, there seems to be a bit of a disparity there being what's paid. What are you finding now? Is that shifting positively or still some work?
I think sentiment is shifting, and certainly from a regulatory perspective, we've seen an increase in the minimum wage, which has largely helped sectors that you're talking about, so the services sectors in particular. Women we know are more likely to be on a minimum wage. So that gave us a boost, which helped to narrow the gender pay gap that we've seen in the most recent data. So that is looking like a good thing. But as we also saw from WGEA's Gender Pay Gap Transparency Campaign launched on February 27, is that there's a hell of a lot of work to do in various industries. Male-dominated industries in particular have their work cut out for them because of the structure and the way that that looks. So there's work to be done there. But this doesn't mean that there's not progress being made. It just means that we really are almost in Australia, starting anew with realising and finally accepting that we do have a gender pay gap problem Now, what are the actions we're going to do about it? And I think that's where we are at right now. And what we've seen from this latest campaign is that suddenly debate has shifted from, you know, it's because of this and this and blah, blah, blah. And we dismiss it away. But on the whole, even though I'm not saying that that wasn't still there, it wasn't there as much. Debate has gone to, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? What policies are in place? How are we going to attract more women into these like-for-like roles? And what on earth is really happening in management? Because that's where we see in like-for-like the biggest disparity, particularly in financial services when you look at those senior management roles, CEO positions in particular. And how do you lead from the top as a woman when it is very difficult when you're really up against it from a pay perspective, you know, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of challenges still out there, and actions need to be taken to move us beyond this awareness state that we're currently in at the moment.
Yeah. And I know you're going to certainly talk about what can we do from a leadership perspective, from a company perspective, you know, how can we influence the policy makers and the decision makers that are setting, you know, the standards. But let's look at it from an individual point of view. If we do have a woman who can relate to what you're talking about, particularly, you know, pay gap within the workplace, do you find, and I know that we are generalizing here, of course, so it's going to be different, possibly case by case, but what can we do as individuals in the workplace, how we approach the workplace? Can we impact in any way towards some positive change? Or do you see it more having to come from those policy and decision makers and companies?
It's certainly a two-pronged approach. It has to be. And I think we've got a government in place at the moment that gets it, and my hope is that continues to be the case forevermore. So we have acknowledged that there is an issue, and we've got a national gender equality strategy now, which has a lot of initiatives that take a real broad approach to addressing gender equity, which is great. But in terms of the individual actions that can be taken, they need to be taken by men as much as they are taken by women. And what we are seeing from just a pure female perspective, talking genders here, is that we can use this data that's available on WGEA's website or on, you know, we publish data as well with Financy Women's Index. We can use the insights we've got to start asking those questions of our employers, start these discussions, but also looking at, okay, well, which employers are progressive on gender equity or, you know, purposeful social impact companies. So we can use this information to basically take action ourselves. I would like to see us to a point using, when we're searching for a job, being able to look at the credentials of a company in terms of their gender pay gap story, what they stand for on gender equity or diversity and inclusion, look at those credentials and actually make more informed decisions. And I think we're starting to see that with the emergence of other tech such as Glassdoor and being able to review. We've got a product, Impactor, which will be coming out front facing for consumers in the near future. So there's going to be greater transparency here. And I think the onus will be upon companies to respond proactively, to be seen to be doing something good to attract the right talent. So, you know, it's basically using this information to your advantage is what I would be suggesting to people at the moment who are looking or even thinking of, you know, where can I go to equalize my pay?
Yes. You know, it's interesting you should say that, because I remember a number of years ago, it's quite a few years ago, that there was certainly a shortage in the building industry, to the point where my husband, who at the time was a foreman on commercial business sites, would see representatives from various companies actually go on site and climb up ladders to try and talk to bricklayers and so forth, because they really wanted to have conversations about the, you know, are you willing to move? Is there an opportunity? So why I say that is because something that you've just mentioned, when businesses find that there is a staff shortage, and I do believe when you hear and you talk to certain industries, there is a huge shortage. That means that individuals can be more discerning think, can be more considerate, if you will, of, well, who is this company? What is their, you know, their core values when it comes to the things that are very important to me? And you can make a decision to or not work with a particular company because of what they say or and don't do. So where would you say to even start looking? I mean, are companies now being more proactive and putting on their websites and other areas more of their story and what they stand behind? Is that kind of what you're encouraging companies to do so that when people do find out a little bit more about individual companies and their leadership teams, what do they stand for, you know, when it comes to these sorts of topics?
Well, I mean, firstly, I wouldn't, there's a few things there. Certainly you'd be looking at, if you're looking for a role, you'd be looking at the front-facing website of the business or the work, the shop front of the business, and looking at their leadership composition. What does it look like? And don't dismiss it if it is an all-male team and you're thinking, oh, you know, I don't, you might be worried about that from how it might mean for you if you've got ambitions to have a family and things like that. This might actually be an opportunity for change within this company. So never look at that at first glance and then rule yourself out. I'd start by saying that first and foremost. But certainly look at the company and try to get a good understanding so that when you hopefully get an interview, you can ask the questions about, well, what are the things that matter to you? What are the flexible work policies? What are the policies that would enable you to further advance your career for the various stage that you're at in your career? Are you recognized for the age that you're at? You might be in your 50s and 60s. Are you recognized for the experience that you have? And what are the opportunities for you there? What are the opportunities for you as a father to have workplace flexibility? Are they even available at that organization? Is parental leave equal for you at that organization? So it's as much a male and female, and I'm really generalizing, I'm aware of the need to talk about genders differently today, but I'm really trying to just say, well, you've got to think that the same applies for both genders if we are to achieve equality. These are discussions that can't just be always led by women. These must equally be led by men. Yeah. And my hope is that we'll get
to I have a son who is a single parent too, and shared custody, and they each have to think as a single parent, and those flexible work hours, and thank goodness the company is very open and supportive of that. So I totally agree with what you're saying. And you also find you can't have a certain policy just to as I said, to one gender and not have it to the other, because as you said, these days it's across both. We have men who want to participate as much as women in looking, you know, after the children and so forth. And so it's wonderful that companies are becoming more open to that. And also I would love to ask you, because obviously from a business point of view, a company point of view, they're very much driven by facts and figures, by real life impacts, if you will. And so do you have any statistics or any feedback that shows for companies who are really have gotten behind this and who've created a culture that is very inclusive around all of this and what we're talking about, the impact that it has had on team morale and overall performance levels? There must be evidence to say that when a business really supports their team in this way, and what we're talking about, it impacts the bottom line of the business. So there is absolute reason why a company would want to start making changes if they have not already.
Well, there is plenty of data out there, in short, on this around, and it's been published by Boston Consulting Group, McKinsey, that look at the benefits of a diverse leadership team by gender, by cultural diversity. That mix alone can actually improve business performance from a profitability perspective. It's bringing in, and these things aren't rocket science, it's bringing in a difference of thought, a difference of consideration of your customers, different consideration of your team members. And it's really about supporting ideas and inclusion in the workplace to get the best productivity out of teams. Yes. You know, if you feel included, if you feel respected, if you feel heard, then you will contribute, you will show up. And that's what it's really about in terms of supporting business performance. Where there's a gap in the market at the moment is in justifying spend And that's where accountability is really critical. We can't just throw money at tick box solutions around diversity, equity, inclusion and expect that they will deliver results. These have to be measurable. They have to be then reviewed, assessed. Is this working for our team? Because it's not going to work the same for a construction company as it will a professional service team. So it's about looking at the differences of companies and looking at the initiatives taken and being able to measure those and manage those, review and push forward. And when you do so, you are also looking at the bottom line for justification all the way through. Now, that's just dealing with numbers. There's a whole support mechanism that's got to go around to implementing change and supporting that. So I really feel that, yes, there is plenty of data out there that shows that it can improve business and does support business performance. There is also a pushback to recognize that we need to show justification and accountability along the way, because just simply throwing money at D&I strategies that aren't really linked to business performance or linked to enhancing gender equity or D&I outcomes for the long term won't get the traction long term that they need to have. And this is really an ongoing commitment from businesses, because this is the way, I believe, of the future and where business is headed.
Mm-hmm. It's with anything, isn't it? I mean, if you're just throwing money and there is no accountability and there's no ongoing measurement, that I would say would probably end up impacting even worse scenarios, because there's just a level of mistrust that's built, isn't there? Well, yeah. I mean, how many times we hear they're just ticking the boxes to make sure that they said, yes, we've done it. But what they say and what they actually do are two different things. And I think that really can foster a mistrust.
It's really important. And in Australia in particular, you know, there were huge upwards of a million dollar fines for greenwashing. We've seen that already. So businesses are on notice about the need to be what they say they are. And this is really, really important, the ability to measure and justify and take that approach as you step through the improvements towards becoming equality effective, as I like to call it, as a workplace.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the areas that Financy is really helping companies to take action, to take empowered action, and to ensure that there's accountability along the entire way.
Yeah, well, we provide support from a customer point of view as well, and just talking with the clients on our Impactor platform. Impact is a way for businesses to measure and track and assess their performance around gender, diversity, and inclusion. And what we try to do is we bring together what the employer says is happening with what the employee actually feels is going on. So it's taking an objective approach to looking at, well, how does a business become truly equality effective? So that's what we try to do through our platform. We're at the first phase of our tech journey, and we're about to launch our next phase in the not too distant future, which is truly exciting. But we've got a number of companies on the platform from small to large that are committed to improving their performance, from national sporting teams to large financial services and mining companies. And it's really about these aren't necessarily companies that are bad on gender equity. These are actually companies that want to be the best. And that's what we're all about supporting, is just that equality effective journey. So it's an exciting road to be on, and it's a much needed tech evolution, in my opinion, is cementing the tools within workplaces to help businesses take the fragmented approach out of process at this point in time, and to remove those tick-box kind of ideas that we might have in order to boost brand awareness. This will give genuine brand impact.
Yes, I like the way that you've supported them in providing this platform technology to be able to track, because that's a thing in and of itself, isn't it? You can implement these, but what do we use that's going to be best in class to be able to monitor? And I would imagine that as you continue to do that, you're really able to take a step back and then see all of the positive impacts that they continue to do as they're continuing to really roll this out and see it infiltrate right throughout the companies as they're doing
that. That's right. And you can say hand on heart, we're doing this and we'll promote this because we know we're doing this and it's genuine and we're accountable to it. And this is the kind of transparency you need when you are justifying business decisions to stakeholders, to customers, to employees. The journey is something that it requires a whole of company approach, I believe, in order to really move the dial, because ultimately where we want to get to is not having to, is for this to be a thing of the past. It's just part of who we are. Australia is known as being a truly gender equitable society and our businesses are very progressive. That's where we want to be.
Terrific. And how can people find out more about Financy and the system that you've been talking about, Impactor?
Yeah, well, you can find me on LinkedIn, but also at financy.com.au/impactor or just head to financy.com.au.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Bianca, and sharing more about the wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Lovely to be with you.